Okay, so the first part of the morning suggestions and things are going to be offered with a translation, and that's at the back of the hall as before. So feel free to take part in that. Before we go into the suggestions, which won't be too much of a surprise, I think, because they're really related to what I spoke about last night. Just a couple of reminders. So this is a really good opportunity to kind of make the most of what we've been cultivating and diving into, enjoying. The mind has a mind of its own, and it may well start thinking about, well, what are we going to do after, or how are we going to keep this going, and all of that. We'll speak a little bit more about what we can do to kind of bring these to the whole of our life. The challenges, the delights, the mundane moments, how we can bring all of those towards being more awake, more sensitive, more beneficial, more well-being, without necessarily making everything perfect, but like actually contributing well, supporting ourselves, supporting others in this way. So for that to kind of work means when the mind's going elsewhere, we just think, yeah, nice. But actually, what about now? What about this? How should we meet this? How should we shape our experience here? And I just want to remind about something we spoke about earlier. I think it was me, but one of us spoke about it. Why we come in and practice, or how we come in and practice. Now, it's no surprise if most of the time we think, I hope I'm going to have a good meditation. That's why I'm here. I'm here for me to have a good meditation, a good experience, maybe something really sublime or, something that's really going to be noteworthy, something really insightful, all of that. But a completely different reason for coming in the meditation hall is I hope my presence here is a support for other people who are here. I just hope that me being here, following the breath, listening to sounds, playing with how I pay attention, what I pay attention to. I hope that that's a benefit for other people. And I hope that we have played with that, that we feel that, and it's true. If in any way, to any degree, another person being here is actually supporting us to stay longer, to come back to the practice, to keep going, then for sure, we're that for others as well. And that reciprocates and that, is more than the sum of its parts. We're all supporting each other. So we could have that sense as we practice. We feel like I walk out of this session in a moment, in just under an hour, oh, it's time for some walking. I don't really feel like it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I don't really feel like it. What about doing it because I don't feel like it? Doing it because it's maybe going to support other people to do their walking practice, which it will, or support other people to be able to meet their experience well. And same, coming in the hall, going out the hall, coming to meals, all of that kind of thing. So if you want, have that view. I like it. Feels good. It's more enjoyable for me. So it might be for you, And in that way, it can really support kind of coming on time to things, staying through till the end, even if I feel like, oh, I don't want to be here anymore. That way. So we can lengthen that out and think, yeah, what would support others? And can I do it? Can I do it? Now, don't want it to get too tight. It's like I have to be perfect so that other people can have a great time. But, playing with that, being flexible with that, knowing it's not going to be perfect, it's not meant to be perfect. Many people have coughs, runny noses, all of that, part of springtime life for some of us. Sometimes in meditation, you get this kind of urge to keep swallowing all the time, all of these kind of things. I'm such a disturbance for other people. And you're really not. You're actually not a disturbance for other people. You're just another thing that makes sounds. That's all you are. And, very few things in the world are completely silent. But then it's like, oh, but over this threshold, that's not right. You know, that shouldn't happen. So completely fine. You know, it's completely fine that happens. But, you know, the person next to you is breathing and you can hear it. And you can say, ah, it's so annoying. Is it? Is it actually annoying? Probably not. But at the same time, something interesting, some of the practices that we're going to do today can really reduce the need to blow your nose, to cough, to move, all of that. And that's quite interesting as well. Yeah. So it's completely permitted, but you might notice. So what we're going to do, meeting it with the kind of sublime attitudes, the kindness, the appreciation, the compassion, and also this equanimity, hard to describe experience, but we'll get to it. If you start meeting experience like that, it's like, oh, I got to cough. I've got this tickle in my throat. I have to. Bleh! It's like, might find, actually, I don't. Oh, that's weird. I really felt like I did, and it kind of, and then it just disappeared. Like we had in the don't scratch the itch meditation, or you might have had. Yeah. So all of this stuff coming together. Okay. So today, the idea is we're going to end all dukkha. and nobody leaves until it's all gone. So maybe, you know, at least we're going to move in that direction. And we're going to move in that direction by bringing into being the more sublime attitudes that we can have. Yeah. So that Pali word, the Brahma-Viharas, Brahma, type of God in the Indian tradition. Vihara is the abode, the home. So they also have that quality, home of the gods. And so ending that demanding, ending that contraction, ending that stress, that reactivity in that way. So just as a review, and to kind of put it in slightly different words, dukkha is a conditioned experience. It's conditioned by demanding, it's conditioned by contraction, it's conditioned. Yeah? So we don't tend to talk about it's caused by these things, but much more it's like conditioned by these things. Yeah. And if we drop those conditions, it doesn't appear in the same way, and slowly it starts to fade, to disappear. All practices, all meditation practices hold this in common. They all transform. Yeah. They all release or they dissolve dukkha. They transform, change it, yeah. Release it, or dissolve it. Dissolve it, so it disappears. So all practices do this, and you might think, well, I don't need another one. I'm still getting a lot from the ones I'm doing, and that's completely fine. They all do this, but they all do it slightly differently. They might do it in ways that kind of feel more accessible to us. It's like, oh, I like this one. I like doing this one. So being appropriate is a really important thing. So the practices you like doing, keep doing those. You don't have to do the ones that I'm suggesting on any one day. But we can also know that as well as them being kind of personally more, I really kind of connect to this one. Yeah. Can also be that some of them are more effective on dukkha, or they go deeper, yeah, or they go wider, or they kind of go into places I don't normally see or sense dukkha, and they can actually release the stress, the distress, the reactivity into those areas. Yeah. Whatever we're doing, it has to begin with a certain degree of acceptance. Yeah. Ah, it's here. This is what's here. The patience, the tolerance. This is how it is right now. But also, I can change it. We can change it. I can do something. Doesn't mean I'm going to make it disappear or I'm going to make it perfect. There's something I can do that can transform, release, dissolve a little bit. So as I said, we're going to try bringing in these sublime attitudes. And first, I'm going to speak about the first three. The first three are kindness, appreciation, and care. Yeah. So kindness, that feeling of benevolence, goodwill towards experience. Sometimes that's missing, sometimes. Appreciation for what's nice. Benevolence, goodwill, the same thing, yeah. So if I say like two or three words, I'm just offering them as synonyms together, yeah. So it's goodwill, friendliness, benevolence, means the same thing here. When that meets something okay, or even quite nice, it can turn into appreciation. Yeah, so if we're enjoying breathing, there's a sense of that goodwill actually becomes an appreciation and an enjoyment of the breathing. Yeah. If some part of the body feels quite nice, like the palms of the hands, yeah, can actually feel quite nice, bring the attention. Feel our attention lands there with a sense of appreciation. That those sensations can actually grow and expand and become deeper, become more interesting in that way. Have a moment of appreciation by resting our attention with something that feels okay. Sometimes what we choose to, or what we are, what attention lands on, is something that's not feeling so good, not feeling so easy to be with. You know, the ache in the shoulders, the stiffness in the back, or tenderness in the heart. And you don't want to always just think, I have to meet this and resolve it. But sometimes it can be good to bring the attention there. But we bring it with spaciousness, not with, I'm going to get rid of you, but much more, it's like, can this be met with kindness and care? Soothing. Maybe the out-breath actually releases, opens. Maybe the in-breath breathes in a sense of allowing, sense of care. We did this a couple of days ago when we worked with meeting the more painful, without getting contracted, without getting rejected. See what can kind of happen there. Yeah. So something to just say there is that we actually want to be training ourselves to be meeting these areas well. And that training usually means that we have to work with the kind of the weaker signals of unpleasantness to kind of get familiar with its effectiveness. That makes sense? It can be tempting, isn't it? Well, I've got this really big thing and I'm drawn towards it a lot. It takes effort to actually draw ourselves towards something that we can feel the possibility of meeting. And also, interestingly, this kind of idea of like, find the edges of this, right? The edges of it where it's not so unpleasant, and start just working there with a sense of allowing it out there. Yeah. Supporting it out there, meeting it with kindness out there, however out there is, yeah. And then slowly, slowly, when that feels like it's transforming, when things feel a bit more dynamic, they feel a bit more, we notice the effect of that way of relating on experience. Really let that come through. Come as close as you want, but we're not rushing this. Thinking of it like a training. So that can be a whole way of working. We choose to meet something that feels okay or relatively nice. I mean, meeting that with appreciation, the kindness comes into the experience that way. Or we're paying attention to something that feels a bit more challenging, a bit more difficult to bear, and we open out that space and slowly are meeting that with allowing and care in that way. Okay, and so we're representing three of the sublime attitudes there. Yeah. The metta, the kindness quality, the appreciation quality, the second one, and the third one, the compassion, the care attitude. Right? There's also this fourth attitude of equanimity, and this is a bit of a step change. This is like a second approach that we could try at times. But it might be the one that appeals to you more. It might be the one that's accessible to you more. So we might be doing sometimes one, sometimes the other. You might only be doing one side. Sometimes you might only be doing the other side. So this second approach, embodying the equanimity sublime attitude, can work on the level of opening the contraction that comes along with the dukkha experience, but also actually comes along with any moment of experience. to some degree. There's some contraction, some tightness. So there's always, for as long as you're perceiving something, or for as long as you feel that you're here doing anything at all, there's some contraction, yeah, that we could loosen. And really trusting you to find what that means, use your intuition, all of that. Yeah. Okay. When there's dukkha, there's more contraction. And when there's less contraction, there's less dukkha. Yeah, that's the principle that we're playing with there. And the Buddha suggested this kind of equanimity possibility, supporting us to go into something incredibly peaceful, incredibly still, peaceful beyond peacefulness. Something very, very nourishing, supportive, and available. Yeah. But as we said, sweet in the beginning, even if we're just moving in that direction, it can be nice to feel. So that contraction might be felt in the body. Yeah, might be felt, ah, good, soften there. It might be felt in the space around the body, that could actually soften, open. It could be the energy through the body. Yeah, like we did with Zara on the lengthening the breath or widening the listening to the sounds. That's an uncontracting way to be. Yeah? You can actually practice this in a way of actually just breathing through maybe the whole body, right down to the feet, into the space beneath, up the back. And as it's doing it, we're just conscious. I'm unblocking, uncontracting, becoming more fluid, more free in that way. And eventually we might even say, I'm not going to contract as far as like gripping the attention to the breath, like have to stay with the breath. So actually I'm just going to let go of that. Maybe there's just a sense of movement, maybe we let go of that. And each time we're letting go. So demanding is this tight fist grabbing type of thing in the dukkha experience, opening it out, opening the palm to receive, and then even just dissolving all of that, yeah? Moving through that dimension. And you can go as far as you wish to go. Really, as I said, just explore, experiment, use your intuition, your imagination, whatever comes to mind. So all of these practices support a certain degree of calmness and steadiness and all this, but they also require a certain degree of the calmness and steadiness. So pacing yourself with this, yeah, like can be the most appropriate thing is to be with the breath, with the sounds in ways that you're already developing and supporting, and that's the best way of using your time. Even if we're going to go into these practices, it could be that most of the time and most of a session, we're working with that steadying, that soothing, that calming, that bringing interest and possibilities. And we just drop this in, thinking of it more like seasoning, like the herbs or the pepper or whatever we might add to a dish. Yeah. So it's not like, okay, now I've got to that part of the retreat where I just eat a plate of, you know, herbs and pepper. Yeah, but I sprinkle that more and more onto my experience and flavor it in that way. The metaphor is about to collapse. To give more, you know, benefit to the things that we're cultivating here. Yeah. The point being, still do a lot of the calming, steadying practices. Yeah. They're nourishing, they're supportive, and they're what we're here for. It's a really good use of our time. Mentioned this before with the practices, is that we can get a sense either this used to work and now it doesn't work anymore. You know, I used to meet things with less contraction and it felt good, or I was meeting things with appreciation and now that it's not working, they're not disappearing like they used to. Yeah. So we're not trying to make things disappear. We're not trying to make things perfect. We're trying to contribute well and allow things, you know, they can be here. What we're trying to see is, can we be less contracted? Can we be more caring? Can we be more appreciative. Yeah, if it remains or it disappears, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's not the game. It's just seeing if we can contribute well to the experience. Yeah. Okay, so hopefully that just felt like a review and perhaps a clarification. So the practice, meeting demanding with the sublime attitudes, meeting the contraction with the sublime attitudes. And why? Because those things are dukkha and they lead to more dukkha. Yeah. If we don't, if we meet with demanding, if we meet with contraction. And that's what this path is doing. It's like changing that relational quality. Does that make enough sense? Okay. So let's have some time of practice. If you want to stretch out, find the right posture, find your place in the hall. And we'll begin with a bit of time just checking in. How's the body feeling right now? No judgment, just checking. Any adjustments to the posture? Be more comfortable. So it can be helpful at the beginning just to recognize how's the energy level. If it feels a bit too high energy or a bit too low energy, what if we take the next three breaths and try and modulate that a little bit? Bring the energy down through the out-breath, grounding, or lifting the energy up through the in-breath. Taking a moment to recognize if the intellect, the thinking is quite busy or relatively not too busy. And acknowledging the heart. More or less recognizing those, it's a sense of including them, not excluding them. While also mainly guiding the attention to the breathing or the listening or the metta practice, whatever it is you're doing these days for steadying, gathering. We take a bit of time cultivating a more gathered, more present way of being. With a sense that noticing is enough, you don't need to do something about it, so you don't want to make a judgment about ourselves, but what you're paying attention to right now, is there a sense of pushing it away, pushing something away, sense of pulling something towards, trying to get something, plan for something? Is there a sense of thinking this thing's not interesting, withdrawing our attention from something? We might be pushing away, turning away, because we think that something unpleasant. We might be seeking after, trying to grab onto, hold onto, because we feel that something is pleasant, could bring happiness. Always withdrawing, thinking something's not interesting, not worth attention. Let's do a little experiment in the meditation to see if we can change how unpleasant something seems. So we're picking something quite accessible. It could be something like, you know, the tightness in the shoulders. Anything mild in the body that's there, and we could imagine, yeah, it would be kind of nice if that weren't there. But it's not the most intolerable thing. And the invitation to begin with is just opening out around it until you really get to the edge of where it's not really that unpleasant. And if it were only that, we might barely even notice it. And either with the breath, breathing, allowing, or just a general sense, even note it, you're allowed, you're cared for. We're not trying to get rid of it, but if it starts to change or becomes more accessible, we can come closer. You don't have to work your way right down to a more intense level, but if you wish to, that feels enjoyable. Just see that experience, the dukkha, the hard to bear, involves reactivity. And when we bring less reactivity, it usually becomes less hard to bear. Lightens. And it can be for some of us, some of the time. No, nothing's not really changing. That can be for any number of reasons. For some of us, yeah, it's changing. For some, it might even be that the sensations completely disappear. It's just an absence. Whatever happens, we're just practicing to bring compassion, care to what's here or what's disappeared. Okay, so that's something we've done that before. We could do that again. We can return to this anytime you wish. Great encouragement. Keep working with the mildest areas as a training. Don't want too much strain while we're developing our skills. Also, seeing how it is if we bring attention to something that feels okay, maybe comfortable, or just not really noticed so much. Again, if it's possible, we'll use the body because the body sensations stay around longer than the sounds, but if the body doesn't feel easy to be with, although this is a relatively easy way to meet the body, then do use the sounds. You could use the silence between the sounds for this. Often don't notice the silence or any quieter, continuous sounds like the wind, the air conditioning. Examples in the body that we don't tend to feel, but they're actually not often that unpleasant. Little finger on one of the hands. The earlobes, the little dangly or fleshy bits at the bottom of the ears. The insides of the elbows. Quite a world to explore there. Bottom of the chin, that fleshy bit under the tongue. Let's practice bringing our attention there as if we're explorers wanting to get to know, but also with a sense of appreciation and delight, if it's possible. What we may notice is when we pay attention, there's almost like new dimensions, new aspects, new details come into being. The what was overlooked, thought not to be pleasant, not to be unpleasant, can sometimes become more pleasant. Could bring attention to areas like the palms of the hands. Sometimes they become really alive when things feel quite pleasant, or the could even bring a smile to the face and feel into the pleasantness of the smile, the pleasantness of the experience in a way it's felt somewhere. It's not the same as the sensations. Something you can be with the sensations, but it might be possible for the attention to experience the ease, the pleasantness itself. Meet that with appreciation. Whichever way we're doing it, just meeting sensations with less demand, with more kindness, meeting the pleasantness, ease. And at any time we can also return to settling, stabilizing the attention with the breathing, with the listening, with the metta. Let's take a few minutes together, just doing the practice, what feels helpful. Might be to bring attention to something that's okay, or something that's pleasant, a sense of kindness, appreciation. Come to a mild sensation of discomfort, spaciousness, compassion. Or just staying with the breathing, the stabilizing metta, whatever it is. Any time we notice tightness or demand, it's really just an opportunity to soften, to transform. See, what's this need? More space, more compassion, more interest, more appreciation, delight. Recognizing, feeling how this is not adding more dukkha. Maybe it's even dissolving dukkha. Let's spend a little time with any sense of that. Sense of that ease, maybe sense of that pleasantness even. Meeting that well. Not grasping onto it, also. Demanding anything of it. Not losing touch with it either. Might find you can actually breathe it or breathe with it. Whatever that means. The last few minutes, we'll also play a little bit, those who wish, with releasing all contraction that we can notice. That tightness that holds things in attention, which gets tighter and tighter, so we can move into a more dukkha experience, more stressed, reactive. fade down to a level of just noticing. But even noticing has a certain holding. And we can notice this softening, opening in the face. A holding in the face that can soften, the eyes, around the eyes. Letting things in, letting them be, letting them go. Not even needing to know what this is, define what it is. That's all. Need some contraction. We're just experimenting with this. What is it to loosen? Soften. Sometimes an image is used that the mind has become like a clenched fist, that we can allow to become an open palm. Letting through. And also letting ourselves soften, dissolve. As much as you enjoy to. Not forcing it. Even moment to moment, release the urge to pay attention. Notice, even to know. Intending to relax even this. the last few seconds, just noticing how this is. Thank you for your practice, and thank you to the kitchen for going about your tasks. So if you like, there's this suggestion here for kind of bringing more attention to through the days. It can be helpful to know what it is that we're doing some of the time and really think, yeah, I'm going to cultivate that sublime attitude. I'll put up a sheet on the board so that we can remind ourselves of the different ones, the different aspects. Yeah. You can take this, explore, experiment, take it in different directions. You could just take one aspect at a time, working with that. You could be try and do different bits, different times. Can be that we practice with a really kind of wide awareness to all things, meeting everything with that attitude. It could be that we're quite directed. I'm really working in the, say, like the body sense door. Yeah, it's like feeling tactile sensations, physical sensations, meeting them with a beautiful attitude in that way. Could be that we take, you know, one of the Vedanas, the unpleasant Vedana, the pleasant Vedana, really see if I can draw my attention there and meet it in skillful, wholesome ways. Yeah, so make it your own, make it what feels suitable for you. Including not doing any of that at all. Yeah, it's always within the realm of possibilities, just to name it. Yeah. And we can also bring this into the walking practice and, you know, movement practice in these ways. That are there ways that I can move the body that are really supportive of that sensitivity? Are there ways that I can draw the attention to more appreciation of body, of grass, of earth, of nature, or whatever like that? And I'm really cultivating that quality there. Whatever it is, yeah. Take one, bring it into being. Could also be that we want that, you know, releasing contraction, that really peaceful way of being. And our walking can really be like an act of harmony, of love, of peace, step by step, you know, being gentle on the earth. Can also be that we really, as we move, really try and let that each movement be a release of contraction, of holding, of fluidity. I certainly notice it for myself when I come to something like paying attention to walking, it can get quite rigid. It's like have that feeling of almost like dancing, yeah, from one side to the other, and feeling how it is that the body moves, responds. You know, you just move a foot forwards, but everything moves with it. And really that sense of becoming fluid, becoming loose, becoming uncontracted, even in a movement. So those are some suggestions. I'm sure you'll find your own ways of bringing this into being, and really want to encourage you at this point, particularly, trust your intuition, yeah. Find your way. And the only thing here is also remembering we're also here as a support for each other. So finding your own way in ways which are supportive to the whole. Yeah. Okay. So thanks for letting me share a few things, and I hope some of them are useful. And enjoy this day of practice together. Thank you for being here.